our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a sinner. In our Lord's day, the tax collectors weren't only responsible for collecting the taxes due to Caesar, but they were also notorious extortionists, demanding from those who could not afford it more than was due in order to pocket some for themselves. Zacchaeus was such a man. He was notorious. He was ill-liked. He was resented. And yet of all the people that came out to see Jesus that bright day in Jericho 2,000 years ago, Jesus stopped at this man, Zacchaeus, to the consternation and surprise and even outrage of many. Why did the Lord call up to Zacchaeus? Why Zacchaeus? What did Zacchaeus do to deserve such an honor? Christ dines in his house. He brings salvation to him and his whole household. And if we too desire to meet the Savior, we do well to pay attention to the lesson of Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus had something that we often lack. Single-minded zeal to see the Lord. He is bent on seeing him, being near him. Zacchaeus, whatever his past sins and transgressions, and from what we gather, they may have been many, he refuses to let them hinder him in his quest to see God. There aren't any promises that anything else will happen, just that maybe he will see the Christ. That's all. That's his hope and faith. And that means everything to him, because Christ is God and he fills all in all. In him and him alone we live and move and have our being. Zacchaeus has understood this. The reality of who Christ is, better than even some of Christ's closest followers that day. And yet of all the people there, Zacchaeus could have easily been disqualified from seeing the Lord on at least two counts. One, because of his past sins against the people, and two, because of his short stature. How can the impure come before the pure one? How can a man of such a short stature hope to see the King whom everyone else is clamoring to see? Precisely. This is what faith looks like. Of all the people there, Zacchaeus demonstrates such true and great faith. His faith is humble. He's not thinking that he's greater than everyone else, worthy to see and encounter Christ. No, he's content just to see the Christ, the long-awaited Savior of the world, promised by God, the one who made the world itself. And Zacchaeus won't be deterred from his goal. Christ, foreknowing Zacchaeus' humble zeal to see him, and knowing of the accompanying repentant spirit that comes with it, gives him more than he could have imagined: a personal encounter with Christ, an opportunity to know him, to be received and restored by God, to dine with him. In other words, to have communion with him. Christ says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Those who see this are astounded. They're angry. Some shouted, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Here too, Jesus is teaching us that we aren't to look at the past sins, known or unknown, of ourselves or others. The Lord always looks towards our repentance, our redemption, our liberation from our past. He's always, always bent on our renewal, our healing, our salvation. He always sees us as his beloved sons and daughters in the present, where we're at, but also what we can become in him, because of him, because of his grace, his mercy, his work on our lives. This is the reality of the identity that we have in Christ, that God gives us. Christ's love for us is so demonstrated here. It's one thing for us to run after Christ, but this story with Zacchaeus and others shows us clearly that Christ comes to us, sin-sick as we are, and desires our restoration, our repentance, so that he can enjoy communion with us. Because this is what he created us for. This is such a clear and beautiful picture of the love and mercy of God. Christ God doesn't overlook Zacchaeus' sin. He's not pretending that it's not there. For an unrepentant Zacchaeus would not have brought the master to him. No, it isn't that he overlooks the sins of any of us in this respect. It's rather that he does look and is attracted to Zacchaeus' repentance. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise, says David in the Psalms. Such a heart is fitting to be with the God of love and mercy, who always desires our healing and salvation, our restoration, who rejoices in our repentance more than anything. St. Tikhon of Zadonsk articulates Christ's love here in this way, saying, I should have come to you as a transgressor of your law. I should have fallen at your feet, cast myself down before you, humbly begging forgiveness, pleading with you and craving your mercy. But you yourself have come to me, wretched and good-for-nothing servant that I am. My Lord has come to me. Each of us has the opportunity to be like Zacchaeus, to open our house, our souls to him, to desire to encounter him more, to encounter him afresh, to invite him into those raw, wounded, broken, sin-sick rooms of the house of our soul, so that he, the great physician, can heal them, can make them whole and fit to dine with him, for communion with him, the Lord of all. And so, we each one ask ourselves, what are your handicaps, your past sins, or diseases of the soul? What are your impediments to seeing and growing in and getting to Christ, to see him? We each need to ask ourselves this question. Is there anything holding me back? The Triodion is upon us. Beginning next week, our Lenten journey is before us. The greatest opportunity of the year for repentance, for healing and growth is before us. Will we be like Zacchaeus? Are you willing to put away your past, your broken patterns, your limited vision, and get to Christ, to really see him, to welcome him in? Zacchaeus didn't satisfy himself with pious feelings. Instead, he puts repentance into action. He promises that he will restore fourfold anything and anyone that he's defrauded, giving half his goods to the poor. You see the change in him. Christ knows the change that has come about because of his humility, because of his desire to see Christ. Have you been neglecting any spiritual disciplines and tools of the church? Now is the time to renew that commitment before the Lord. Now, as salvation is visiting us, as Christ God seeks out whom he will dine with, Maybe it's daily prayers or reading the scriptures. Some discipline your spiritual father has given you. Praying the Jesus prayer, ministering to those around us and less fortunate in soul and body. Loving others by witnessing to the truth of the faith. Participating in the sacraments. Whatever it is, Christ visits us. He stands before us. He's ready to receive us if we prepare ourselves through repentance, if we humbly seek Him. Christ proclaims, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." This is the love and mercy that Christ shows to Zacchaeus and to all his household. This is Christ's love and mercy to us as well. If we truly want to see Jesus, if we desire to know him and his healing and salvation, if we want to receive him when he visits us, if we are convinced that Christ is life and that apart from him, there is no other life, if we believe the eyewitness accounts of the millions of saints that have come before us, of the reality of changed lives, then we, like Zacchaeus, need to make our life in Christ the number one priority in our lives as well. To seek him, to see him. That needs to be our desire. We can always make excuses, or we can overcome our own handicaps, our own past sins, the doubts that we ourselves have about ourselves or that others have put on us. We can actively repent. We can zealously open our hearts to see Christ, doing whatever we need to make room for him to come into the house of our soul as well, to cleanse us and make us whole, to visit us with his love, healing, and salvation. This Christ desires to give us, to bring us, more than anything else as we approach this holy season. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever.
Christ is in our midst.
Amen.